Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 10th of October, recording slightly later than usual at 10:22 p.m., and that's still British summertime. Now, what an incredibly exciting day in the markets. And I also have a very, very exciting announcement to make regarding this service, which I will do towards the end of this audio. But first, let's take these all-important markets. As you know, they had been sagging in recent weeks, very concerned about the U.S. government debt impasse, and even the possibility that this would carry on beyond the 17th, leading to a default. Well, that has been avoided, albeit temporarily, but I'm pretty confident that it will be avoided permanently, because today the White House endorsed a short debt limit increase with no policy conditions attached. And this is going to run until the 22nd of November, so it gives the Republicans and Democrats time to come to some sort of consensus agreement on their programs. The idea, incidentally, was proposed by Republican House Speaker John Boehner. Now, what does it mean? Well, we had a lot of upward dynamics in here today. First and foremost, there was a massive amount of short covering that pushed the indices, the U.S. indices, all up over 2%. The biggest being the NASDAQ, up 2.25%, but 2.18 for the Dow and the S&P, respectively. This also spilled over, not surprisingly, and we had Canada up nearly 1.3%, Mexico over 1.5%, more modest gain in Brazil, but higher nevertheless. And Europe got early evidence of this and closed considerably strongly. For instance, the Euro Stoxx Index, I won't go through all the percentages, but Euro Stoxx Index, that's that top 50, was up 2.25% nearly. So big gains in North America and also in Europe on this news, because people were very worried that this was going to cause a slide back into recession at a time when global GDP growth has already been really quite slow, as you are only too well aware. Now, Europe did not know this news. Japan, though, had strengthened again. I think it's up 2% over the last, a little over 2% over the last couple of days. And we also saw China eased a little bit today. I suspect it might well be up tomorrow. And most of the other Asian markets were a bit higher as well. Okay, now, what does this mean looking a little further ahead? Well, unlike the rally that we saw when Ben Bernanke announced to much surprise that he was not going to commence tapering, and, you know, the market surged up for one day and then started to come off almost immediately thereafter. And that marked the high that we've seen on Wall Street to date. Well, this is, I think, going to be different, because the concern widely felt over the last many months, indeed also expressed by various members of the Federal Reserve, although not Mr. Bernanke, was that tapering was going to commence some months ago, and obviously it hasn't happened. And the market was also very pleased by Janet Yellen's appointment. I commented on that yesterday as well. And what we now have is a near certainty that there will be no tapering commencing before December at the earliest, but it may well take a while longer before the actual tapering occurs. So, in effect, the uncertainty in terms of what will a slight tightening, and it's no more, it would be no more than a slight tightening, but the point is that once you get that tapering starting, that people will extrapolate, investors will extrapolate that and expect it to continue, although Mr. Bernanke has often said that they could reduce the tapering or reverse the tapering if conditions actually warranted, and I think that will be their policy going forward. But I think the real probability here, and I mentioned this yesterday, was that we would have pretty much a bullish market environment overall, or certainly with fewer sharp reactions during the remainder of this year, and that's what the market was. That's a belief that the market was expressing here today. Well, elsewhere, what actually happened? The futures prices for long-dated government bonds, they eased a little bit, and that means that the yields pushed somewhat higher. But that's not a concern at this stage. The U.S. 10-year, for instance, closed today a little bit higher at 2.68%, but that's still well below the September high, which was just over 3%. And my view is that we will see ranging. We may actually have a floor under that yield, just down around that 2.5% level. But we'll see continued ranging, and eventually those yields are going to move higher as the global economy recovers. But that may take a little bit longer here now than people were previously expecting. All in all, it's a very good environment, I think, for equities, because we still have that huge tailwind of very positive monetary policies. And that's been, well, it's likely to affect some other markets even more than Wall Street. For instance, Europe has been doing extremely well in recent months, for a number of months. And that, I think, will certainly remain in form over the medium term. Now, and I think also Japan is in the latter stages of its consolidation, which is the first consolidation, really, since it broke dramatically up out of that long-ranging base formation. Now, as far as government bonds are concerned, I do really feel that anyone who's holding bond funds, these long-dated government bond funds, I would certainly understand if you wanted to consider lightening those positions, because these markets are in a bear phase. And there's no yield to maturity in the bond funds. So I think that's going to be a serial underperformer relative to equities over the next few years. We know equities are volatile, and that's always been the case, and probably, and well, I think it always will be the case. But you're going to get better yields in many shares, and you're certainly going to get some strong growth as well. Companies, as you know, and not least the autonomies, have been growing a whole lot faster than the global economy. Okay, what else to mention? In terms of currencies. That's one thing I hadn't been watching earlier today. U.S. dollar was slightly firmer here, and the euro is slowly coming back down from that level up around 136 that we had seen previously. But it was a very quiet day here in the currency markets. More activity, though, in the precious metals. And as we stand right now, we've got palladium up at 712. Silver had eased in here today. That's down to 2168. And platinum also lower in here. It's at currently after hours at 1388. And gold is at 1311. It was a bit lower here, but has picked up in the after hours trading. It had dipped down to 1285, but as I say, now 1311. Expect a little bit of volatility in here, in line with this news, which is leading to some position juggling, understandably. And in the other commodity markets, the industrial metals were mostly firmer, and the exception was tin. And crude oil also got a bit of a pop here today. The Brent was up at trading after hours at $111.80. WTI is up less, but it's at 103.01. It's unable to get below that $100 level, and quite possibly not just because that's around a phobia number, as we call it, but it's also a level that Saudi Arabia, still the marginal producer, does not want to see crude below $100 a barrel because of its social welfare expenditures. And industrial, but the agricultural commodities, well, a bit mixed, but the industrial ones pretty much firmer. And on to the Fuller Money news here on this exciting, exciting day. And here's the story, quite briefly. And we've got a buyout. And our global strategy service is leaving StockCube and will once again be a fully independent company. It's something that Owen and I have been working towards for really, really quite some time, although we were unable to mention it. Now, the whole purpose in doing this is to modernize and develop the service to which you subscribe, and this is something that you've asked us to do in the past, not least regarding the chart library, and we wanted to do that, but we've been unable to do that. Well, that's all changing, and it's changing in a very well. It's all going to start from now because the deal's been signed here, and we have developed products separately, including a new library, which I think you're going to like. So this is not a distant promise. This is a reality that you will see commencing before the end of October. And I mentioned the two key features. Well, I haven't quite. One of them is the new, more efficient chart library. And I mean more efficient. It'll be easier to use it. Be more logical library, and also we'll have an expansion and development program for the library. It won't all happen next week, but I think you'll like the new library, and it will have the capacity that we can go on and add other functions to it very, very quickly. And that is exactly what we intend to do. And sorry about that phone going off there. Now, Owen and I will remain the editorial directors, writing comment of the day and recording the audio and also providing our consultancy service. Owen will shortly resume his tours with the chart seminar, so let us know on the website where you'd like to see chart seminars. And we also have two new development directors, and these are Craig Ribden and Ian McClelland, who are also on the board of Proactive Investors. And quite frankly, without their considerable expertise and enthusiastic support, we could not have developed our service as we and our subscribers also wished. Lastly, I'm also pleased to say that we have a new name, which is more representative of the editorial team and our service. And there's a link to that new name on the site, or will be shortly. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.